Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. I'm Glenn Moberg, and today on Route 51, we revisit the Affordable Care Act, commonly known as Obamacare, as the March 31st deadline looms for people to sign up for coverage on the new insurance exchanges. There are a number of different plans available if you're not covered by your employer. How many options you have depends on what state you live in and what county you live in. We're going to look at this sweeping new law from three perspectives today: the insurance companies that are issuing policies under the new exchanges, the hospitals and clinics that will be treating people under the new law, and those who are working to sign up individuals, particularly the poor and minority populations, who may be able to obtain affordable medical insurance for the first time. We're also going to look at what's really happening under the Affordable Care Act and try to strip away the misinformation and myths that have been circulated by special interest groups in commercials and in the media. Our guest today, Marty Anderson, the Director of Marketing Consumer Products with Security Health Plan. Sid Sigelski, Vice President of Finance and Chief Financial Officer with Aspirus, Inc. And Ailey Herr, a certified application counselor who's working to sign up people at the Bridge Community Clinic in Wausau through the U.S. Health Resources and Services Administration. Now, as always, we want to hear from you. I imagine you've got some questions, concerns, or comments about the Affordable Care Act and how it's being implemented. Give us a call at 1-800-780-9742, and we'll try to get you on the air. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can post a message on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I will read it live on the air. Marty Anderson, we now have, 4.2 million people who have signed up for the medical insurance nationwide under these new exchanges. How are things going at Security Health Plan?
Yeah, things are going very well at Security Health Plan. Right now, we have roughly 16,000 people who are covered through the federally facilitated marketplace that have enrolled with Security Health Plan. Around 71,000 in the total state, a report came out 2 days ago regarding that. So Security Health Plan right now has about one out of every four enrollments throughout the state through the federally facilitated marketplace.
Now, the rollout was widely criticized because of the catastrophic problems they had with the website, healthcare.gov. How is the website working now?
Well, when you look back to October and November, the horror stories were true. The website was not working well. People were not able to enroll. At the end of November, though, we really saw a breakthrough in terms of how people were able to enroll in the federally facilitated marketplace. Now the website is working very smoothly. In a very simple situation, somebody could enroll in as little as 20 to 30 minutes.
20 to 30 minutes, really. Mm-hmm. Now, if people have problems with the website or they aren't computer savvy, how do they go about signing up?
Yeah, there's multiple ways that they can sign up. They can sign up directly through a health insurance carrier. Most health insurance carriers will help people through the enrollment process. Security Health Plan has enrollment events throughout our service area that we're helping people. We set up computers and we'll help them walk through all the steps of the enrollment process. People can also contact healthcare.gov through a phone number, and they can enroll through their phone. And then they can also work with people like certified application counselors who will help walk them through the process in person as well.
Now, Security offers plans in most of the counties throughout north central Wisconsin. You know, I looked at those plans and found out that many of the counties have multiple insurance companies on the exchanges, but there are some that only have one or two. Mm-hmm. For instance, Vilas County only has you, Security Health Plan,
That's
is
correct.
The provider. But nearby Shawano County has six different providers: Security, WPS, Molina, Dean, CompCare, and Common Ground. Why the disparity, and how does that affect the quality of care you get from county to county?
That's a great question. In 10 counties that Security Health Plan serves, we are the only carrier that is offered. And it's really hard to speculate as to why other carriers didn't participate in those counties. You know, one of the things that you can say is a lot of the counties where there is only one insurer, they have a very low population of people, a lot more trees up north than there are people.
Right.
So that might be one reason that they wouldn't have participated. Interestingly enough, Shawano County has one of the highest, it's the most competitive county in the state for insurance carriers. And the reason for that is that it's a border county between the service areas of multiple health insurance providers. So you get that also in Waukesha County down towards the Milwaukee area.
Now, we've got 4.2 million people who are signed up on these exchanges nationally. That's below the goal of 7 million. But more than 10 million have insurance through the Medicaid expansion in the states that have allowed that, where the governors have accepted the money. Wisconsin is not one of those. And also because of the provisions that keep people from being turned down because of pre-existing conditions, mm-hmm. and provisions that allow parents to keep their kids on their medical insurance until the age of 26. Well, we're 18 days away from the March 31st deadline. Is that $4.2 million with the additional millions for all of these other aspects of the plan, is that good enough?
I don't think it's good enough. I think the final success metric for this program is going to be the number of uninsured people that end up enrolling in the program. And what we saw is a report 2 days ago that came out that showed that the uninsured rate in the nation came down by 2%. And I think that's ultimately what we want to see. We want to make sure that we're getting as many of those people who are uninsured, getting them coverage and getting them access to high-quality health care as we can.
Sid Sigelski, you were on the show back in October. Your reflections on the rollout of the Affordable Care Act and how it's proceeded since then?
Well, obviously, it was a little bit rocky initially. Since then, though, it seems like the federal government has got the website working well, the exchange website. So I think that's a positive, and now we're starting to see more and more people sign up, more and more people aware. I think that's a good thing. Seems like Wisconsin's ahead of their target, so we're pleased with that. There's a lot of, in our market here, there's a lot of good plans on the exchange. I think that's good for consumers. Some things we're seeing, though, from what we understand, is even though people are signing up, they're not always paying their insurance premium, and it's difficult for us to know who is paying, who is not, when that patient presents to Aspirus. The insurance companies are supposed to provide us with that kind of information. I think they're still attempting to make those processes work well. The other thing we track is how many patients are we seeing that are self-pay? And the products have been in place now for at least 2.5 months, through March 13th, almost 2.5 months. And we haven't really seen a dip in the number of patients that are self-pay. So either they're not, maybe those are the ones not signing up or they haven't signed up. We're doing as best we can to attempt to get people that do present without insurance enrolled in some form of Medicaid plan or something, if we can, and try to get them also on the exchange. But that deadline is looming where we can't get them signed up.
Are you concerned, and it seems that you are, that people will sign up for the Affordable Care Act, get an insurance card, come to your hospital for care, and then they don't pay the copays or the deductibles, or they won't even pay the premiums for the insurance, and that leaves providers like you holding the bag?
Yes, that's correct. The first question is, are they paying the premiums? And as I said, we're not always certain they are, and we understand, and I don't know if this is a good number or not, but we understand nationally that up to 30% of the people that enroll on the exchange are not paying the premium at this time. So it's hard to know who is paying that premium, who isn't. And then if we do bill the insurance carrier that patient signed up for, will they pay for the care? And like always, with any plans, there's a trend toward higher deductibles, higher copays. That puts more burden on individuals to come up with the money for that.
So people might be signing up for the cheapest plan that's out there, not realizing that if they get sick or get hurt, they're going to be spending a lot of money up front because the copay is so high or the deductible is so high.
Yeah, I think we see, I don't want to say quite a bit of that, but we do see that occasionally. So that is a concern, I think, of a lot of people. The other thing is that we're seeing people sign up for different plans and then find out, gee, my physician is not on that plan. And they have to, when they do enroll, they should be checking to make sure that if I'm seeing Dr. Smith or whoever I'm seeing, that Dr. Smith is a qualified provider under that particular plan. In some cases, you're seeing patients being surprised that, gee, I can't go to this physician who I've always gone to or this specialist who I've gone to.
But maybe they could have found them if they signed up for a different plan. So there's homework that the individual has to do in order to take responsibility for his or her health care.
Yeah, that's critical. And, there's certified counselors that are helping people sign up, and I think they're doing a good job where they can. But there still tends to be some surprises. And I do understand that some people are trying to switch once they do enroll. They're trying to unenroll in one plan and re-enroll in another because they want to follow their provider.
Now, Aspirus, you're one of the really big providers in North Central Wisconsin. Of course, a lot of people use the hospital here in Wausau. But both at that hospital and your clinics, how big of a problem is it that people without medical insurance go to the emergency room for routine care and then they don't pay for it? In other words, leaving you again holding the bag and having those costs passed on to your other customers because somebody's got to pay for them.
Yeah, that has been historically a major issue. And what we're seeing, though, actually, is ED, emergency department visits, beginning to fall a little bit, and we're doing an evaluation of that. Why is that occurring? We think, in part, it might be the frequent flyers, the individuals that don't have insurance, that maybe have diabetes or whatever that's a bit uncontrolled, and they end up back in ED 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 times sometimes a year. And hopefully, if we can better medically manage those patients, get them tied into a physician of some type with maybe a medical home concept,
mm-hmm.
and manage their manage them out from an outpatient standpoint, we're less likely to see them admitted. We're less likely to see them coming back to the ED. So that may be one of the reasons why that ED volume's down a little bit. We're also putting case management now into our EDs. So when patients come in, we're not just looking at them medically. We're asking, you know, what's going on with this patient? Why are they here? Why do they come back? If they're coming back, should they be admitted? Shouldn't they be admitted? And looking at it from a lot of different ways.
Frequent flyers. It's the first time I've heard that expression. It's a good one. Ailey Hur, you've been working to sign up new people for the Affordable Care Act since September. You're actually being paid by the Health Resources and Services Administration. That's part of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. What are they paying you to do?
They're basically paying me to network Glenn and you guys and basically Maori and sit together, basically. We want to make sure that people get the right plans that they want to the right hospitals that they want, especially to the right doctors. What we actually do is we sit down with people. We hear lots of different stories, some exciting, some pretty traumatic. And then we run scenarios on basically what would be the best route for them based on that situation and based on that income level that they have for their household. And so you brought up a really important point. Basically, what we do is we actually educate people on what these plans consist of in regards to the premium they have to pay and to the other deductibles and copays that they have to pay. And so before they leave every one of our offices at Bridge Clinic or any other agencies that we are at helping people enroll, we make sure that they leave with the idea of, okay, here's what you need to do next. And I think that as certified application counselors, we try to make sure that people leave with less questions that they came in with. And that's definitely key to what we want to make sure that they understand, not just the premium in general, mm-hmm. but insurance in general. It's very hard to understand insurance. I think we all can understand that terminologies, where do the monies go, where does the money come from, what do these numbers mean? And we try to make sure that they understand that not from an agent perspective, but from what we are able to see on this website on healthcare.gov.
How many of the patients at the Bridge Community Clinic are on Medicaid or Badger Care or are below or near the federal poverty level?
Those, I don't have specific numbers, but we do work with a good range and max and a good mix of everybody, those that have never had insurance and those that are coming off of Badger Care, and also those that were qualified to the new Badger Care plans in regards to this new MAGI rule changes in the state. And so mm-hmm. we are seeing a very good mix of both private and the public assistance.
You're signing up a lot of poor people and a lot of people from the Hmong community. Mm-hmm. What are the special challenges that you're facing?
For language-wise, the big barrier is getting available tools and resources out there. And in not just that, but it's the fear that's already been existence in the community. We find that each individual community have their own little misunderstandings of what insurance is. And for the Hmong community in particular, we've had a couple misunderstandings in the past that it makes them have this fear of talking about insurance. Could be related to scams or just not understanding what these terminologies mean. And my job in particular in that Hmong community group is try to make sure that they understand these terminologies, try to understand what this new change really consists of, and not to mislead them in any way, but to make sure that they have a better understanding of what they did not know before.
So you're dealing with a lot of misconceptions. What are some of the misconceptions or things that aren't true that people come into your office and they believe for one reason or another? Maybe they've heard it on the media or heard it mm-hmm. from their friends.
Something that we hear that even scares me too is like they come in here with thousands of dollars monthly premiums, and I'm like, you know, that's not reasonable. Potentially, depending on your age, we do see some high premiums. But with these particular community groups, they do qualify for additional cost reduction. Not just that, but they qualify for the tax credits that reduces these premiums to be very affordable compared to what we would normally buy an insurance policy at full premium. It's very expensive in that sense. But basically, we want to make sure that they understand the ease of having insurance, and not just that, but not to be so connected to a network that they did not know.
You told me on the phone that people come into your office and say, well, this is the government, isn't it? It's government health care.
Right.
And you have to tell them, no,
right.
It's not government health care. These are
exactly.
private companies.
That is a big thing. People come to my office and thinking, this is government insurance. They don't want it. But we clarify right away. This government facilitates the process of getting insurance, but it is still basically you are buying private insurance.
Well, we've heard a lot of horror stories about the Affordable mm-hmm. Care Act, with people having their health insurance canceled and not being able to get adequate coverage on the new insurance exchange markets. Here's the story of one woman. Her name is Julie Boonstra, who says she was diagnosed with leukemia 5 years ago, and her health care plan was canceled because of Obamacare. She says now her out-of-pocket costs are so high, they're unaffordable. This is a story that was run in an ad in a U.S. Senate race in Michigan.
I was diagnosed with leukemia. I found out that I only have a 20% chance of surviving. I found this wonderful doctor and a great health care plan. I was doing fairly well, fighting the cancer, fighting the leukemia. And then I received the letter. My insurance was canceled because of Obamacare. Now the out-of-pocket costs are so high, it's unaffordable. If I do not receive my medication, I will die. I believed the president. I believed I could keep my health insurance plan. I feel lied to. It's heartbreaking for me. Congressman Peters, your decision to vote for Obamacare jeopardized my health. It is time to listen to me. It is time to listen to the other American citizens out there who are hurting. This is serious. It's not a game. Congressman Peters, Obamacare is not the answer.
Marty Anderson at Security Health Plan, how often does something like that happen?
Well, when we looked at the Affordable Care Act, we did have a product that was not Affordable Care Act compliant. It was called Advantage Plus. And we did actually cancel that policy. It was canceled at the end of December. But we made that decision way back in the summer of 2013. That was a very difficult decision for us at the health plan, because we know that there are stories out there like this of people who may have higher deductibles, higher copays, higher premiums because of them moving to an Affordable Care Act product.
But in most cases, can they get insurance that's comparable at the market at a comparable cost or cheaper?
Yep, that's exactly where I was going.
Well, let me add something to this story with Julie Boonstra. As it happens, that ad was not true. The ad was produced by Americans for Prosperity. This is a conservative advocacy group backed by Charles and David Koch. It was in a Senate campaign in Michigan targeting a Democratic congressman, Gary Peters. The Detroit News investigated. They found that before Julie Boonstra's plan was canceled, she was paying an $1,100 monthly premium. That's an annual cost of $13,200 a year. Under Obamacare, as she calls it, her new premium in the Blue Cross Premier Gold plan is down to $571 a month. Her out-of-pocket costs are capped at $5,100. That comes out to a maximum annual expense of $11,952 a year, more than $1,000 less each year than she was paying before. She was also able to keep her doctor under the new plan, despite the implication in the ad that she wasn't. Now, she was contacted by the Detroit News. This is interesting. She was shown the facts that she's paying less now than before, and she reportedly told them, this is a quote, "I personally do not believe that." So here is a woman who, when she is presented with these facts, apparently they either don't matter or she's not going to believe them because they don't conflict. They conflict with the ideological presuppositions she has. There can't be anything good about this. Mm-hmm. It must be bad. So she doesn't believe the facts, even in her own case, where those facts indicate that she's paying less now for comparable care. One more thing. She says she's never been politically active. Her ex-husband, Mark Boonstra, was a Republican county chairman who was appointed by Michigan Governor Rick Snyder to the Court of Appeals in 2012. Mm-hmm. Ads like this are all over the country right now, yep. And a lot of them have been shown to be not true. How serious of a problem is this misinformation?
It's a very significant issue. You know, as you look at her story, you know, they're not looking at what they had for coverage prior to. For instance, our best-selling product before the Affordable Care Act came into place in the individual market was a $10,000 deductible policy. We can no longer sell that policy because of the Affordable Care Act, because there are limitations on cost sharing that really benefited the consumer significantly. In addition, there are things like the essential health benefits, 10 benefit categories. Many insurers did not cover all 10 benefit categories. Now we do going forward. It's stories like these that really put a damper on people's feelings about the program and their willingness to enroll in the program. And I think as we go forward, you're going to see people who see their family, their friends, and other relatives signing up for the program and getting help for the program. And that's when the tide's really going to turn, and people are going to see that it's a beneficial program for a significant portion of the population. You know,
there's a lot of money behind ads like that, mm-hmm. and a lot of money behind the misconceptions, and it's got to be tough to cut through.
Absolutely. I mean, we have a significant ad campaign really trying to get people out just to look at their options, not that they have to enroll, but that they should at least see what options they have available to them.
If you just joined us, we're talking about the Affordable Care Act and its implementation with Marty Anderson of Security Health Plan, Sid Sigelski, he's the Chief Financial Officer of Aspirus, Inc., and also Ailey Herr, who is a certified application counselor with the Bridge Community Clinic, signing up poor people. If you'd like to join the conversation, 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Our lines are wide open right now, or you can leave a comment on our Facebook page, the Route 51 Facebook page, and I'll try to read it on the air. The group, Americans for Prosperity, that's running that particular ad is also running the creepy Uncle Sam ads. Are you familiar with those? Asking young people to opt out of the Affordable Care Act and not get medical coverage. Sid Sigelski, how important is it for young people to get medical coverage?
Well, I think personally it's very important because you never know if you're going to have a medical event that's going to require coverage of some type. And also the whole plan itself, the Affordable Care Act, is based upon a certain percentage of young people signing up for coverage. I don't think we know yet what that percentage blend is. Maybe individual plans know, and Marty might be able to tell us what Security Health Plan's been experiencing. But until we know nationally what percent of each age group are signing up, we don't know the financial ramifications of this for the federal government. But I will say again that, you know, we hate to see young individuals that come in with no insurance coverage. Maybe they've had an accident, or maybe they've had some kind of untoward health event, and we have no choice but to pursue collection against them. And for them, maybe they have a young family even, it's a very difficult situation to be in. If their income's not great, they may qualify for community care programs and things that we can do for them, either discounted or free care. But that is not always the case, and some people just take that risk.
The young people feel invincible.
They do, and until something happens and they present in our ER or some other place, they do.
Ailey Herr, how difficult is it for you to cut through some of the misconceptions?
I think with this, working with the Young Invincible, basically what we do is, as families come in, what I personally do is I make sure that I mention what opportunities or what is the options available to the family members. Do they have any young teenagers, young adults that may be off to college or just working that may not be aware of this new change? And so I make sure that, yes, you might have this young adult living with you or elsewhere, but here are the options. And we feel that this young group just don't pay quite so much attention to insurance in regards to, you know, we're not going to get sick, we're not going to get into accidents because I'm aware of my abilities. And so, like Sid mentioned, you know, we tend to be like thinking like that until something does happen, and then those that lack insurance will definitely have to reap the consequences on that.
I want to go to the phones right now. We have a caller right now from Tom in Winter. Tom, you're on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio.
I'm a retiree from Illinois City, Chicago, and I'm on Medicare. And my wife and I, we're with Blue Cross Blue Shield. We decided to look for a plan that may be a little bit more affordable up here because of the Affordable Health Care Act. Well, as it turns out, we look at Anthem, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, and they're being pulled out of the state of Wisconsin, or they're pulling out of northwestern Wisconsin anyway. And we looked at the Security plans, which is the only plans you can get up here. There is no other insurance companies here to get. And we found that the premiums were a little bit high, and deductibles were also pretty high. We were a little disappointed. We figured that with the Affordable Health Care Act, that there would be a little bit more choice involved here. I'm not saying security doesn't have choice of different plans. I'm just saying that I thought that they were a little bit high. And also, I'm very disappointed that the powers that be are making it so easy, or I don't know how to say it, that we don't have, there's no competition up here. You either get security or you don't. And like I said, it's a little disappointing. I'm sure there's other insurance companies that would like to come up here, I would think, but I don't know. Maybe the money isn't there.
Well,
but
Tom,
I know that Anthem is pulling out.
Tom, we've got Marty Anderson here from Security Health Plan. We did mention that, Marty, that there are some counties where you're the only player in the game. Respond to Tom here. He says your premiums are too high, and he mm-hmm. wishes there were more competition.
Sure. There's actually two things that I'd want to respond to. The first thing is that Tom had mentioned he's on Medicare. Medicare is not affected by the Affordable Care Act, and nobody that's looking for a Medicare plan should go to healthcare.gov to look for a plan.
I'm sorry. It was for my wife, who is not on Medicare.
Ah,
and
excellent.
That's how yep. we looked around. We looked around and couldn't find anything else but your security up here.
Yep. And definitely, as we talked about earlier, there are counties within the state where only certain carriers decided to participate. And it sounds like Tom is in one of those situations. What I would encourage him to do is, you know, take a look and see what subsidies might be available to him. People between 100 and 400% of the federal poverty line are eligible for premium tax credits that will help them pay for their monthly premium. And then folks between 100 and 250% are eligible for cost-sharing reductions that help pay for their deductible, coinsurance, and copayments. There's actually a website out there other than healthcare.gov. I find it a little bit easier to use. It's called healthsherpa.com.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. But, you know, we're not eligible for any of that. Okay? Mm-hmm. And like I say, we don't want anything for nothing. Absolutely don't.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand where security's coming from, but on the same token, I don't understand why we don't have other insurance companies up here to choose from. Why is Anthem, for instance, being allowed to pull out? I know that's not part of what you're talking about today, but it is part of the issue and part of the problem.
Sid Sigelski?
Yes, I was just going to say, you know, keep in mind this is the first year of the rollout of this act, and I think many insurance companies decided to sit on the sideline initially or only try to introduce their products in a couple of markets till they had some experience with it. The Affordable Care Act also has risk corridors that limit losses in individual plans with the federal government taking some of that risk, and those go on for another 2 years. I do know that there are some insurance companies that are looking at expanding their market reach, introducing products into certain counties where there's not quite enough competition. So you won't see that this calendar year, but I think you'll start to see some of that in 15 and 16.
Tom, thanks so much for the call. We got to run. We got to take
you.
A break. Call Marty Anderson at Security Health Plan. I think he'll take your call. If you have any questions, you know, after the show is over, and we'll take it from there.
Yep,
thank
absolutely.
You. Have a great day.
I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We're talking with representatives of Aspirus, Inc., Security Health Plan, and the Bridge Community Clinic about the Affordable Care Act. We're taking your calls at 1-800-780-9742. Joyce in Medford, hang on. We'll get to you right after this short break.
Thank you to the business sponsors who help support WPR programs. Businesses like D.B. Reinhardt Institute for Ethics, Access Prosthetics, and Gimme Shelter play a huge role in the success of WPR. Your business can too. More information at WPR.org/sponsor. Support also comes from Wausau's Woodson Art Museum, presenting two magical exhibitions, From Houdini to Hugo, The Art of Brian Selznick, and historic lithographs and props from the American Museum of Magic, on view through April 6th. More at lywam.org.
You're listening to Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. I'm Glenn Mobrig. The subject today is the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. The deadline is coming up March 31st. We have Sid Sigelski of Aspirus, Inc., Marty Anderson of Security Health Plan, and Ailey Herr, who is signing up people at the Bridge Community Clinic, 1-800-780-9742. If you'd like to join the conversation, let's go to Joyce in Medford. Joyce, you're on Route 51.
Hi, Glenn. I just wanted to share with you the experience that my brother-in-law had. He was signing himself and his wife and their son up for the plan, and they had spent days online on the website to try and find the right combination because they have some issues where they have need certain prescription drugs, and they didn't go with Security Health specifically for that reason because there isn't very good drug coverage. They ended up going with Anthem, were signed up on the last day of the deadline to get insurance in January, and then found out in the middle of January that even though their premium had been collected, the computer had put them in as their first starting on February 1st. So they had no coverage in January at all, even though they paid the premium in. Then they had doctor's appointment in February, and everything that they were getting was being denied, their medications for both his wife and his son, the doctor's visits, the procedures that they had lined up prior to January 1st were all denied by Anthem. And come to find out, the reason being that even though the physicians in the Anthem area had signed up, or they felt that they were signed up with the hospital, they hadn't been individually signed up with Anthem itself. And so Anthem automatically denied them because they weren't signed up in the system.
All right.
Their doctors weren't signed up.
Joyce, I think we got it. Let me have our insurance expert. Marty, you're getting most of the questions here. First of all, she says your prescription drug coverage is inadequate, and then explain what happened with this other carrier.
Yeah, so one of the things to keep in mind is that all carriers have to cover essential health benefits, and there is a standard, basically, formulary or a number of drugs that we have to cover by category. So every carrier is going to have similar coverage from a drug perspective. Copayments might be a little bit different by carrier, but generally, Security Health Plan's copayments on drugs are fairly reasonable. What I would say, and Sid mentioned this earlier, is the fact that when people are shopping for a plan, they really need to be cautious of looking at the providers that are part of that plan. Many of the plans that bid into the federally facilitated marketplace are what are called, we term them narrow network plans, which means they have a smaller network of providers, and that allows the health insurer to get to pass along a lower premium to the people that are enrolled. So as people are looking at plans, they just want to make sure and call the carrier and make sure that their doctor is actually part of the plan, because this is a terrible situation that this family's in, and we want to make sure that people are able to get to see the doctors that they want to see. One other point on that, the federally facilitated marketplace has given provisions to folks who are in a situation like this to allow them to select a different plan prior to the end of the open enrollment on March 31st. So what I would encourage this family to do is to go out to the federally facilitated marketplace, either call them or go online, and see if they have the ability to change plans before March 31st.
Joyce.
They're already in the process of doing that.
All right. Joyce, thanks so much for the call. Got to move on. Let's go to Pat in Wisconsin Rapids. Pat, you're on Route 51 with Marty Anderson, Sid Sigelski, and Ailey Herr.
Good morning. My question is related to our health insurance. We were insured through Security Health, received a letter indicating that we would get comparable coverage, or here's the best comparable plan that's available, resulting in a 50% increase in premium and a 100% increase in the coinsurance corridor. I'm not eligible for a subsidy, and it appears to me as though I just took a 10% increase in my incremental tax rate in order to pay for this plan, and I just don't understand how this comes about as being affordable.
Anyone want to handle that? Marty again.
Yeah, this was a difficult decision by Security Health Plan too, and lots of carriers throughout the state were forced into a similar situation. As we evaluated this, we went over it multiple times because we recognized that there are going to be stories like this out there. And we looked at this multiple times to make sure that the majority of our population would be getting better coverage and lower premiums. And that's really what we tried to evaluate and do the best for the most people as possible.
My question is that given that it appears that actuarially you needed to have younger people enroll in this, then the stability of the pricing in my plan seems to be very suspect. you can always adjust those people with a lesser income by giving them a greater subsidy. But what happens if, what are the projections that your actuaries are showing as to what my rate increase is likely to be next year? Are we in for a 50% increase to the premium?
That's an excellent question. And one of the provisions in the Affordable Care Act is that if carriers increase their premium by a certain amount, they're forced to publish that and on their website and in the general media to let the public know why the people in that coverage are receiving a premium increase. And carriers are going to be very reluctant to go over that threshold if they know that they're going to be kind of put out there in the public to have to explain why they're doing that. So I think that's one provision in the Affordable Care Act that will help with premium increases as we go forward.
Pat, thanks so much for the phone call. One of the parts of the Affordable Care Act that's being implemented in some states but not others is the expansion of Medicaid to cover more poor people. The federal government giving states money to cover 100% of the costs in the first years of the expansion and then 90% after that. The expansion was supposed to apply to every state in the union, but the Supreme Court struck down that part of the law and allowed individual states to opt out. Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker refused to accept the federal Medicaid money. And what that means is that 92,000 poor people who would have gotten Medicaid or Badger Care coverage will now have to try to get coverage on the insurance exchanges instead. We talked about this last week on Route 51 with Republican Assemblyman Bob Culp of Stratford and Democratic Assemblywoman Katrina Shankland of Stevens Point. Here's some of what they said when they were debating that issue last week on Route 51.
Number one, we are currently paying over $100 million to cover 80,000 fewer people. So we're paying more in taxes right now to ensure that less people in our state have health care. Not only is that morally wrong, it's economically wrong. From a moral standpoint, I've heard from a lot of constituents who have, you know, struggled to pay the premiums for their health care because they should be covered by Badger Care. They should be covered by that Medicaid expansion. The exchanges were never meant for people who make $11,500, but that's where people who are living in poverty in our state are going. So now, in addition to trying to figure out, you know, should I put gas in my car to get to work or food on the table for me and my children, these people are also going to have to negotiate between rates.
Bob Culp.
Should the governor have accepted the federal funding? No. And the reason is because long-term sustainable, it is not. We know that the federal government is in much worse condition, and I can, again, lay out the parameters for you. Katrina said $100 million. Again, let's take six zeros off on a $35,000 income. You've got $100 that we would have accepted. For a pittance, we would have sold our ability to determine our future, our unique Wisconsin future and heritage, the ability to make our own decisions, and we would have been tied in with the federal government. So the governor absolutely did the correct thing.
So why do we accept any federal money for our roads or our schools? I mean, I've noticed that Republicans in the legislature and the governor are immune to certain kinds of federal government money, and it happens to be they're immune to money meant for poor people to get health care. They're not immune to money for our roads.
I refuse to buy that argument. I think that everyone uses roads, and it simply is not accurate to state that. I believe that everyone in Wisconsin is covered by medical care, and it certainly was the correct decision because we get to maintain where we're going.
Sid Sigelski, is everyone in Wisconsin covered by medical care?
Not today they're not, because again, you know, we're continuing to see patients show up that are self-pay, and the reasons for that are probably many, but I think some people just choose not to be covered.
Ailey Herr, with the people that you deal with at the Bridge Community Clinic, many of them in poverty, mm-hmm. How important would that Medicaid expansion have been to them?
I think it would have been very important for them to continue that Medicaid coverage that they had. Despite the change, a lot of them do qualify for the additional tax subsidy, a tax credit that helps pay that premium and makes it very affordable. I've had people that was recently on Medicaid and were potentially paying some premiums too, and now are paying a lesser premium to what they were paying to the state. So, and this is for private insurance that basically covered the same essential benefits that Medicaid had covered. Now, the other number is that we had, yes, a lot of people walking out of Medicaid right now, but we also had a lot of people now going back in because of the young adults, childless adults, going back into Medicaid. And so this will, in a way, compensate for that coverage for those that did not have previously.
And Marty Anderson, if, as an insurance provider, how has that affected your business by having the governor refuse the Medicaid money and these 92,000 people now having to get insurance through the exchanges?
Yeah, so we've had to really look at those people who are losing coverage through the Medicaid program and work very diligently to get them enrolled in a plan through the federally facilitated marketplace. So roughly about 7,000 of our members were moved off from the BadgerCare rolls and onto the exchange rolls. We won't know how well we did in terms of our enrollment of those individuals until after March 31st. That's one population that we're really trying to go after, really trying to educate, and really trying to enroll aggressively.
And Sid Sigelski, does Medicaid reimburse your doctors and your hospitals and clinics sufficiently for the care that you provide?
No, typically for hospitals and physicians, they're one of the lowest, if not the lowest payer. We're probably talking about, 30 to 40 cents on the dollar of cost, not of charge, but of cost to deliver the care. So it's a subsidized program by the healthcare providers in the communities.
But it doesn't meet your costs.
No, it does not.
Marty Anderson?
One other thing I want to make mention of for that BadgerCare population is that those people who are losing coverage have until the end of this month to sign up for coverage for April 1st. So you might be hearing a March 15th date, but for anybody that's losing coverage, they do have all the way until the end of the month to get an April 1st effective date for their insurance, and that's a really important point.
Now, the governor also could have created a system of Wisconsin-based exchanges and a Wisconsin-based website like Maryland, Kentucky, California, and other states. Instead, by refusing to participate in the program, everyone in the state was forced to sign up through the federal website, healthcare.gov, which had a lot of problems initially. Marty Anderson, would it have been helpful if we had a Wisconsin-based website and Wisconsin-based exchanges?
When you look at the experience of some of the state-based exchanges, some are going fairly well. You look at Massachusetts, they've had their connector up for several years, at least since 2010. So they've had their feet underneath them and have been effective at enrolling people. Minnesota, who has their own state exchange, has seen some trouble with their enrollment, at least initially. Oregon, I believe, has not actually enrolled a single person yet through their marketplace. So what I would say is, whether it's a state-based exchange or whether it's a federal exchange, from a carrier's perspective, we just want to make sure people can enroll, and there's really not too much of a difference. Everybody was having trouble getting it up and running.
I'm Glenn Moberg. You're listening to Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. Got to take another quick break. We're talking about the Affordable Care Act. The deadline for sign-up is just 18 days away with Sid Sigelski of Aspirus, Inc., Marty Anderson of Security Health Plan, and Ailey Herr, who is signing up people at the Bridge Community Clinic.
So long. Contributors to Wisconsin Public Radio include Stevens Point Area Co-op, Peninsula Music Festival, and Import Auto Clinic. You too can help ensure the future of WPR with your business sponsorship. Find out more at WPR.org/sponsor. Support also comes from the Wisconsin Lakes Partnership, bringing their 36th annual statewide convention back to Stevens Point April 24th through 26th, with hands-on workshops, national experts, and ideas for protecting our legacy of lakes. More at WisconsinLakes.org.
I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the Affordable Care Act. That March 31st deadline is just 18 days away with Sid Sigelski of Aspirus, Inc., Marty Anderson of Security Health Plan, and Ailey Herr of the Bridge Community Clinic. Joe from Washburn says he had a $7,500 deductible plan through Security with a premium of $320 a month, which is no longer available. A $6,000 deductible policy was offered at a premium cost of close to $700 a month, but only for a catastrophic policy. The premium cost, he says, was doubled. He doesn't qualify for a subsidy. $700 a month is too high of a percentage of his income. He says it's not his idea of affordable. Marty?
There are definitely people in situations that get a premium increase. Again, carriers, because of the Affordable Care Act, have to cover all essential health benefits. So, for instance, drug coverage wasn't offered in a lot of carriers' policies prior to the Affordable Care Act. Now we do have to cover that in addition to maternity care and some other essential health benefits. And those did boost up the cost of care for some individuals, especially those who weren't eligible for the cost-sharing reductions or the advanceable premium tax credit.
Let's go to the phones. We have Beverly in Marathon who's been waiting patiently. Beverly, you're on Route 51.
Good morning. How does the Affordable Care Act affect people like my husband and I that have a Medicare Advantage plan?
Marty Anderson again.
Yeah. Medicare Advantage is largely untouched by the Affordable Care Act. In fact, Medicare in total wasn't affected a great deal by the Affordable Care Act. So if you ever hear any stories out there that Medicare Advantage is going away because of the Affordable Care Act or Medicare Advantage is being changed drastically because of the Affordable Care Act, those stories aren't true. So definitely keep an eye out there. But Security Health Plan does offer a Medicare Advantage plan through our Advocare plan. We plan to continue to offer that in years to come, as do most Medicare Advantage carriers.
I understand that the amount paid to Medicare Advantage plans has been reduced this year, though, by 1.9%. Is that correct?
That is correct. There's a reduction in payments to Medicare Advantage plans, but largely we're able to, by working with our providers like Aspirus, reduce the cost of care by having the providers be more efficient. So largely those cuts have not affected Security Health Plan or other Medicare Advantage players.
Beverly, thanks so much for the phone call. 5 months ago, when we covered this topic on Route 51, Sid, you were here. We talked with Gary Pazuka, the CEO of North Central Healthcare, which provides mental health services, substance abuse services, services for people with developmental disabilities. He expressed concern about the difficulty for mental health patients who are losing Badger Care coverage and who may not be able to navigate the new exchanges.
I think that's a very valid argument. I don't know if there are any statistics on what's happened to the individuals with behavioral health concerns, but boy, for somebody that is, you know, has that kind of issue, it's difficult for them to function in daily life, and then to navigate through this website is nearly impossible. They should be using counselors. Hopefully, they've got advocates of some type, patient advocates that help them with that issue. But, yeah, I think that is a valid argument.
Gary's other big concern, people who have never had health insurance are going to go on those exchanges and buy the cheapest policy they can find and then be saddled with high deductibles and high copays that they can't afford that will eventually throw them even further into debt.
Probably another valid concern. I've not seen a lot of statistics on what people are signing for, whether it was the bronze plans or the gold or premium or platinum or whatever. I understand, though, that people are not always going toward the lowest cost plans. I think that's a good thing. I think that means probably that the counselors are helping with that decision-making process. But I think obviously some people are choosing to go in that direction.
Got one quick question I'm going to ask all three of you because we've only got a minute left. Sid, I've already asked you this one the last time you were on. Is healthcare a right? Is it a responsibility? Or is it a privilege?
You know, that's a very tough question. I don't think it's a right. I think it's a bit of a responsibility. There are certain aspects that I think are right, like emergency care, that sort of thing. But you're responsible to take care of yourself, take care of your body, exercise, do the right things, eat right. I think you need also to be responsible to be gainfully employed if you can, if you're capable, and that you do buy the insurance coverages that are out there, or at least contribute to them. So that's my thought.
Marty Anderson, a right, a responsibility, or a privilege?
I'm going to sit on the fence and say it's a mix of all three of those. As Sid said, you know, there are individuals that can afford insurance, and those people should be purchasing it on their own. There's also a portion of the population that can afford health insurance because either they can't work or they're out of work. And we as a society should be making sure that they have access to affordable coverage.
Aliher, same question. Is it a right, a responsibility, or a privilege?
I would have to agree with Marty here for us. Because it is a combination of the three, because there is a responsibility that people need to, again, take care of their needs. They know what they are capable of, and they know what they are incapable of. And to really have that insurance space to make sure that there isn't any catastrophic things that happen uncontrollably in the unforeseen future is more of our self-responsibility.
And we want to thank today's guest, Marty Anderson, who is...
The Director of Marketing, Consumer Products with Security Health Plan, Sid Sigelski, Vice President of Finance and Chief Financial Officer with Aspirus, Inc., and Ailey Herr, Certified Application Counselor who is working to sign up people at the Bridge Community Clinic. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our Executive Producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Jane Ritger. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Special music today by Robert Palmer, Jackson Brown, and Jimmy Reed. Next week on Route 51, we look at the effects of Title IX on women in sports. Thanks for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin. Until next week, we're heading out of town. An accident.